This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 216 for Friday, January 2nd, 2015. I got the year right on the first try, by the way. I just want everybody to make a note of that. Please.
You practiced, didn't you?
I didn't. You know what I forgot to do? It was like all the ancillary crap we have to do. Forgot my lower third. Look at that. There's my lower third. I forgot to change the camera thing. There, I've changed the camera thing. Man.
But this you is got what the happens. Year right.
I did get the year right. This is what happens when you don't podcast for 2 weeks, I guess. So, if it is your first time joining us, hello, I'm Phil. I run Android Central, sort of. I run these guys anyway. Hi. How's it going? I'm out of practice. Andrew looks horrible, by the way. That's Andrew
wow,
Martin.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate that. That's really nice of you.
That's Andrew Martin. Actually, you got that weird resolution that you see on me sometimes.
What would that be?
Jank. Resolution jank. Anyway.
I don't know. I never understand the black art of Hangouts.
Jerry Hildenbrand, who also looks bad, so maybe it's on my end.
No, that's just always.
No, I meant you look all pixelated.
Everybody looks the same and not pixelated.
No, Russell does for me too, so it must be on my end. Fine. Hey, by the way,
jeez, Phil, Holly, your eyes are horrible.
Russell Holly now works for us, so we're allowed to, we are required to give him a hard time. Welcome, Russell.
Thank you.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. There are dinosaurs behind you.
There have always been dinosaurs behind me. Those have been there for 2 years now.
Guess I'm not paying attention.
So yeah, Russell is official. He now works here, just like you guys. I gotta figure out what we're gonna do on the podcast. We can't have like 7 people on every week. We start rotating. Can I take a week off?
You can take a week off.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice for me. We'll see. So, yeah. Here's what's going on. We're going to spend today taking a quick look back at 2014, I think. We'll just kind of, because, I mean, we haven't had anything, like, big happen in the last 2 weeks, right?
No, not really.
Yeah. So we're going to do that, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up next, specifically next week with CES. I'm headed out there tomorrow to Vegas. I think everybody shows up by Sunday at the latest, so it's going to be insane. We've teamed up with GeekBeat again and Perch, you know, Laptop Mag and Tom Scott and stuff like that. We've got our big stage set up again. We're going to be streaming live all week, I think starting Monday. Maybe is it Monday or Tuesday? I forget which. I have to check. And then I think I help out on Thursday with that. But it's going to be pretty nuts, so it's going to be a lot of fun and nuts. Fun nuts.
I ain't saying nothing.
By the way, Jerry, I would like to compliment you on the color of your shirt.
Yes, I got the memo. We're like Christmas twins thing.
Yeah. So there's that. So, who wants to start? Russell's going to start.
I'm going to start. I almost volunteered, but then I didn't.
Never volunteer.
Not here. No way.
2014. My favorite thing is still Inbox.
Really?
A lot of people who do the same thing that we do have kind of already rejected Inbox. They used it for a month or two, and they decided it wasn't for them. And I've seen a couple of pretty solid articles as to why it didn't work out for some people, but it's been a really nice way of doing email for me. I'm still a big fan of it.
So let's back up for those who have not been indoctrinated to Inbox. Give me in 1 minute, what is Inbox? Why would I want it?
It's an email client from Google that lets you take email and do other things with it, like prioritize the way messages come in a totally different way.
Boom. Is it that different? I used it and part of the reason I'm not using it now is because it still doesn't work with Google Apps, right?
Right.
So my work email doesn't work with it. And the other thing is, I don't want my email to be pretty. I want it to be functional. You know what I mean?
I want it to be functional, but I also want there's like a layer of context that happens with Inbox that I really like, particularly when it comes to snoozing different emails, because I can keep a ton of stuff in my inbox and just kind of flip through it. Usually I have a pretty good idea of what's going on in my inbox, but the stuff that's like at the very top gets treated like a priority, like a to-do list. And if I can, you know, snooze something away so that it comes back in an hour as kind of a pesky reminder that that's the thing that needs to get done, that's kind of an important thing for me.
So were you somebody that already used lots of labels and folders and things like that in Gmail? And you
No, I tried really hard to use folders and labels. I tried to use a mailbox from the Dropbox folks, and they had a pretty basic version of the snooze feature that Inbox has. But it wasn't something that ever worked for me. The combination of the time-based snoozing and the location-based snoozing for emails ends up being a really big deal for me. Like the location thing, I end up using way more than I think I use the time-based snoozing. Because I can set it to when I get to some place, then it just pops up those emails.
Like for me, when I tried out Inbox, giving up the folders and labels system that I've already, you know, come up with over the years was the toughest part, because yeah. I was like, okay, now I've just got to hand all that off and let everything come in and just let Google organize it. And it's funny because I like the Google Now type stuff. I like, you know, having everything in one place in that respect. But for some reason, I just couldn't give in to not knowing, you know, at a glance, all of my folders the way that I want to have them set up. And so I just couldn't stick with it for that reason. I'm not sure if, you know, going forward, if I could give into that.
No, and there's totally plenty of people like that. I mean, my inbox, my personal inbox for Gmail before I started using Inbox was just a trash heap. It was, you know, a pile of whatever came in next. And that was the thing. The stuff that was in the top was the stuff that I paid attention to. And now I have a little bit of control over what's at the top. And I think it makes me a little more productive. I don't have any like actual data to back that up.
But. Yeah, I'm looking at my email right now, and I'm trying to think. Okay, so I'm using. What have I done to my inbox? All right, I have important and unread, starred, and everything else.
I've never been here before. What's going on?
That's the standard layout there.
Right. Okay. Well, it's not letting me select all, which is kind of weird. Ah, there we go. All right, they moved it on me. Maybe they didn't move it on me. Maybe I moved on it. I was trying to figure out how many I have, because I would like to... Yeah, I'm going to nuke my inbox, like, tomorrow, probably in the airport, because I figured if I need to respond to it, I'm not going to. If I need it, you know, if it's important, whatever. They'll email me again. I don't know. I mean, I do this before shows, right? Does Inbox save me from that? Do I care about the number, or?
I think it makes nuking them a little easier, and it could make, you know, if there's a random couple of things that you want to pop up, like, you know, if you're traveling to something, you can specifically set emails to go away entirely and show back up when you get to New York or when you get to Vegas.
See, that would actually be kind of neat, especially for travel confirmation kind of emails. You know, if you book a flight 3 months ahead of time, you don't really care that you know, confirmation email is sitting there until, you know, the week of your flight or something, and then you can have it come back around.
There's been and that all actually kind of ties into what Google's been doing anyway, especially as we've gotten to the lollipop era, which, you know, Gmail has matured enough so that they're taking your flight itineraries and basically doing what TripIt does, and I'm a huge fan of TripIt, but now they're taking your itinerary and automatically adding it to your calendar in the new. But, you know, the new Google Calendar app, I think, is beautiful. I love it. I still need, like, an agenda view on my home screen. But as far as singular apps goes, I think it's great. So I guess the question we need to ask again, and I know we asked this a long time, and Inbox is still way early, but is this where email is moving to? Or are they just trying to make it into this really nice, interesting alternative?
Yeah, I think it's going to be it's weird because – I think not a ton of people remember that when Gmail first came out, we were asking this exact same question, you know, because Outlook was the default for so many people then, and there were a ton of web clients out there that were basically, like, crappy clones of Outlook. And that was one of the things that got me to use Gmail in the first place, was that it did the threaded conversations, and that was like a huge deal when Gmail first came out. I don't feel that Inbox is going to have quite the same sway on people for a while. I think it's probably going to have a slower adoption rate than Gmail did initially. But it's entirely possible that there will be a large group of people who feel like their emails are actions and not messages.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I think that Inbox is more to Google than just a new email client. Some of the stuff we've seen, it's pretty obvious that Google wants one place to gather up every way to communicate with everyone else just through a Google account. You know, you've got Hangouts and Google Plus and Gmail and everything else, but with Hangouts, they've integrated your SMS and they took away the online and offline indicators. I think Google would love to have a way where I can just click a picture of Phil, send a message, and whatever the best way that message can get to Phil will just magically happen. And I think Inbox is the user interface for something like that.
Didn't they just bring back those indicators?
Yeah, after a little bit of pressure. I'm glad they're back, but I still think that's where Google is headed. They want just one way to contact somebody, and let's do away with all these @gmail.coms and plus Phil Nickinson and all this other stuff. Just click Phil's picture in your contacts and type what you need to type, and he gets it.
And, I mean, on the email side of that, they're going toward that direction as well with the way that they work with people that send out emails so that they can format things properly, and you see an inbox where it'll surface ordering information to the top of the email and reformat things, and they're trying to get images put in there the right way and all that kind of stuff, to where not every email message looks the same. You know, you're getting an email, and Inbox decides what's important about that email and pulls it out. So it's not super important that it's from this email address to this email address. It's just it arrives, and we're going to format it in a way that shows the most important information about that. And that could mean a change, you know, even further along about what the actual, you know, Inbox with a small I, I guess you have to say, looks like. You know, does it have to be this list of emails, or can it just be, I've agreed to get specific information from these other people, and it's just going to show up?
What's next for the reboot? What could Google really take on? And I would argue it probably needs to be one of its own services that needs this sort of, not just refresh, but this, you know, to really be shaken up and change the way we use it. Nobody's ready for that one, huh?
Well, I mean, there's so many things.
Jerry can go.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So my initial response is to say Drive. You know, and with that comes the different, you know, office-esque things that have come from Drive. Because it gets treated like this, it gets treated like an office clone, but if you look, there are so many features that they work on all the time that are these just kind of little things that make it do a whole lot more across each one of the Drive platforms, you know, the spreadsheets and document editor and stuff like that, so that they become more than just a word processor or a spreadsheet service. And so I think I can't even really verbalize how they would do it, but I think that you know, taking that service and making it more than just an office competitor would be a big thing.
What were you going to say, Jerry?
I was just going to say that there are so many Google products that need fixed. They still need to fix Google Voice. I don't want my Google Voice messages in Hangouts, because sometimes I have to snooze Hangouts, and if Phil needs to get me when I'm away, if it's important enough for him to text me, I want to be able to get a notification outside of Hangouts. So I had to split them back apart, and Google Voice sucks on an Android phone. Using it just sucks. YouTube is a mess. The mobile app looks pretty, but it's very limited in functionality, and on the desktop, it's a cesspool. YouTube needs something done to it.
Google Plus is getting out of hand. These controls to filter what you see worked in the beginning when there was only 50 people you knew. But now that you've got 50,000 people you're sharing stuff with, what's hot and recommended? Things teen girls say is not recommended for me. Sorry, I don't need that. Everything needs fixed a little bit. I don't know what's important, though. What's important to me is not going to necessarily be important to anyone else or important for Google. So I have no idea. I guess that was a long way to say, I don't know.
I'm genuinely surprised that you don't care about what teen girls say.
Oh, well. No, my teen girls have grown up, so I don't care anymore.
Yeah, it's... On one hand, I get it from a revenue standpoint. If it's not making money, who cares? Right. But on the other hand, I mean, have you guys read the Eric Schmidt Rosenberg book from this year?
Nope.
Yep. How Google Works, I think it was. It's really interesting. But, yeah, I mean, at the same time, you hear these stories of, here's this thing that didn't work, and, you know, Larry Page would just put a note on a wall somewhere, and, like, this sucks, and by Monday morning, it would be fixed, not just, well, it doesn't really suck. You know, there'd be no hedging about it. It would just be people would fix it because it needed to be fixed. And, you know, I don't pretend to understand, you know, really how Google works, you know, let alone any company like that, but let alone this one. But, God, I mean, we need to get back to that a little bit, right? I mean, I think it comes all the way down to notifications and Lollipop. Like, it feels to me like this engineering fix for a problem we didn't necessarily have. And
it's not even complete at that.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, one of any number of things we could list. So I'd like to see some sort of change in that. Who knows where the culture's at right now? There's been a lot of personnel changes, and people leave jobs all the time. But, you know, between... You know, Andy Rubin leaving Android and Vic leaving Google Plus, and I mean, I think it's going to take them a little while to get their legs back underneath them, right? Just to get that direction and figuring out what the direction is going to be again.
Maybe. I mean, they may have the best guy in the world already on staff, and we just haven't seen his name yet.
True.
But I'm going to have to agree that they're going to have to slow down because of the personnel changes, a little bit at least.
Well, that's a good one, Russell. Thanks. No, that was really good.
You already mentioned mine, what I'm excited for, and you're going to think that I'm an idiot.
No, I want to hear it now.
Notifications and Lollipop got me all excited. Not because they suck so much on the Nexus devices, but because of the APIs and the way they can be leveraged by third parties and integrated. If you want me to tell you why Google made them so crappy on the Nexus 6, I don't have an answer. I don't know. But they are. But they don't have to be. I can't wait to see what... And not the upgrade to the Note 4, because that's going to be the same thing that you have with the Note 4 now. But the Galaxy S6 or the HTC M9 or the LG G4, where they've had a few months to play with these APIs and work it into their software, that's going to be some really interesting stuff to see what they can do with it. You can share the same notifications with your car, your watch, your TV. You can act on them from any device. That's maybe because we get so many notifications, that's why it's more important to us. But I think the four of us, and probably a lot of people out there listening, watching, whatever, can see how being able to wrangle those notifications from anywhere can be really cool.
So Alex has been running some of these leaked builds that are out there, and he's listening right now. So if you think they're crappy on the Nexus 6, try a G3 or a GS5 on Lollipop. I mean, to be fair, unofficial, not done. We'll see. But...
And Samsung can't change the user interface on the Galaxy S5. Everyone listening to this podcast would be okay with that. Well, we'll just learn it again. But think of the people you know that don't read about smartphones on the internet. They don't want their phone to start acting different and crazy all the time.
Your mom would not be okay with that.
Right. She'd be on the phone, Jerry, I can't answer my email anymore. So that's, you know, I'm not going to hold that against them. But I think the future is really bright. And not just notifications, a lot of the new APIs, they're focused around, you know, allowing something else to have a little bit of control over the way things are done. And I don't mean just an app on your phone. I mean maybe an app on your watch having some control over what goes on your phone or your TV or your car. And if we're going to have a connected future, we've got to start that way.
And I agree that the, especially the cross-screen stuff, you know, needs good notification sync and notification priorities. You know, it's your move in Words with Friends doesn't need to come up on your head unit or your car when it's connected, but, you know, a incoming call does need to come up to your screen. But I think that, so I think that that part is really good, of course, but as we're seeing that the implementation right now on the phone is really kind of screwed up and just not user friendly. And I think that front end is like a small portion that could be definitely fixed because all the back end stuff seems like it's right. I mean, we're all using Android Wear devices connected to our phones and the notification sync is awesome. And, you know, having that, you know, back and forth talking is great. So I just, you know, I wish that they would just fix the interface part on the phone. And I don't want to have to rely on, you know, seeing what Samsung and HTC do with it. It would be nice if it was fixed for all phones, not and fixed in the same way.
You know, if this were the Galaxy Nexus or even further back than the Nexus S that had this very basic, ugly way to use the new features, we'd have been fine with it. But now that Nexus equals a consumer brand, we want it to be polished and pretty.
You made the comment about, you know, your mom saying, I can't get my email. You know, that was my parents when their Nexus 4s got the Lollipop update. And they accidentally got stuck in priority notifications mode. And they had no idea what that star meant because it's not at all clear to anybody that's a regular user what that means or why you're not getting notifications now. At the same time, my brother's Nexus got it and he said Lollipop is the best, you know, version of software his phone's ever had. So it's a little funky right now and it's not very user friendly the way it is. And like you said, for, you know, Nexus doesn't necessarily mean phone nerd anymore.
Right. But that star means that you can be driving in your car and get a notification or hear your phone ring and you can tap your watch and answer it through your car stereo and not have to worry about a Words with Friends notification coming through. So the groundwork is there, and that's what I'm excited about, not the poor implementation on my Nexus 6.
Right, that part is fixable.
Right.
And much easier to fix than, you know, reworking the entire back-end notification system again.
What about you, Andrew? What's your one big thing from the past year that has you just all excited?
That has me excited going forward? Well, I think it's two different things. Looking back at the progression of 2014, I liked what manufacturers did with Chromebooks. And I think that we actually got a few Chromebooks that weren't steaming piles, which you couldn't necessarily say about 2013. Most of the Chromebooks were kind of bad. And there were actually a couple that were, as somebody who uses expensive computers, there were a couple that came out that I was actually happy to use on a daily basis for a fraction of the cost. And that's kind of the goal of Chromebooks, but they always came up short with kind of crappy build quality and displays and things like that. So I'm more interested to see what they do, you know, going forward. Like, are they going to continue this to where we're getting really solid, like $400 to $600 Chromebooks that, compete with the $1,200, $1,300 Windows laptops? I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but that's the progression that we're on our way to. And I know Chromebooks aren't the most glamorous things ever, and I think that they can be as sales start to increase and manufacturers start to actually put some time behind. Right now, they're a little bit of, we scraped up these parts off the floor from these other laptops that we make money off of, and we're going to make a Chromebook with them now. I hope that there's a little more Chromebook first thinking behind some of these models going forward. Not the most glamorous thing ever, I know, but
I don't disagree that I think it's an important one. I was trying to think. I pulled out what was the old the white Samsung one, like one of the first ones, one of the first.
Oh, that Series 3 that we got at Google I/O.
Did you put it? Do you put it straight into the trash bin when you?
I don't know because I got to find the charger, which I might have.
Right now, it's good to level out your couch if one of the legs.
Yeah, no, I was going to give it to my 8-year-old and see if it would work for her at all.
It probably would. That'd be great for that.
Yeah, if I can charge it, we'll see. I'll worry about that when I get back. But you know, I mean, the more I think about it, like, what else does she need besides a web browser?
Well,
that's it.
Chromebooks aren't glamorous because we made them not be glamorous. There is no reason that Sony, well, not anymore, Samsung couldn't make an aluminum Chromebook with a great keyboard, great trackpad, beautiful screen, charge $900 for it. Nobody would buy it because we're all convinced that Chromebooks need to be cheap and they're just a web browser. They need to lose that stigma.
And that's why I'm happy about this general progression towards, okay, we have a little bit of higher-end model. 6 months later, a little bit higher-end model to where now you can spend in the high 300s, low $400 area, and people are buying those in some small amount. Obviously, they're not selling as well as, you know, last year's Acer for $179 or something, but I think that it's this gradual step towards people accepting a little higher-end, a little higher-end, that I'm not sure what the ceiling is, like you said, Jerry. I'm not sure if people are going to buy the $900 Samsung Ultrabook style one, but it's at least a step in the right direction where there's something out there that somebody like me would actually use.
You know, another interesting thing, Chromebooks right now are where Android phones were when the Nexus 1 came out. If you buy an expensive Chromebook and are willing to unlock the bootloader, I'll use that word, install Linux on it, you've got a fully functional, full-featured laptop that will do anything that your $1,000 laptop you would buy would do, unless you need software that only runs on Mac OS or Windows.
Yep.
But out of the box, it just seems limited, and it seems more limited than it is. I doubt all these people who say, well, I need a phone or a computer that'll run more programs. I doubt that those people really need something more than a Chromebook in the Chrome Web Store would provide, but nobody understands that yet because of that stigma I was talking about before.
Yep, and I think that the Android comparison is pretty apt in that arena where, oh, it doesn't do, you know, these couple things that I think that I need to do, or it doesn't have the apps that I think that I need, or maybe you do need in some cases, especially on Chrome OS, but the rate
of, favorite argument, you can't do real work on them.
Right. Because for a lot of for us, yeah, I could do 95% of my real work on it, and you know, and there we're getting towards the steps of getting to 100% there. It, for a lot of people, it's a cop out because, you know, they're used to their own thing, and that's okay. You can say that you're used to using Windows on your 15-inch laptop and you don't want to try something else, but for a lot of people, you can. And I would prefer if the only issue for people switching was an improvement in hardware, because that's going to come along. Mm-hmm. And I think that the software it's getting there, but I think that I can see the path of the hardware getting to where we need it to be. I'm not sure if they can change the software in a way that'll convince people that it's enough operating system for them.
See Aaron mentioning the Yoga Chromebook,
which is good.
It's a very nice built device, really well built. And I think that's exactly what Andrew was getting at. It's not $1,200 like a Pixel, but it's not $199 like an Acer. It's very middle of the road price and middle of the road build quality, but that's what people want in a laptop.
I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People don't want, not everybody wants a MacBook Pro or a Pixel.
I'm going to be quick about mine, and mine's even less sexy, but I'm going to say Google Play, and specifically the content. you just don't have nearly that disparity that we used to of, oh, I can't get this new record. It's not on Google yet. Or you still get it every now and then, just stupid exclusives. In fact, I bought the new Taylor Swift record on Amazon for my daughter because she
was sure.
And it's not good. I don't like it. But no, I bought it for it because I couldn't get it on Google Play yet. Right? I couldn't get it on Alexa. So there's less of that. I think movies has improved significantly.
A lot.
Oh, movies is awesome. Every Tuesday you hit the shop, there's just a ton of new stuff in there.
I'm not crazy at all about seeing the like pre-orders right alongside new releases because those are two very different things and they know it. But it's a big, big deal, and I don't think any of us who aren't in those discussions with lawyers can appreciate just how friggin' difficult it is to get this stuff done, and difficult for all the wrong reasons, right? So for me, that's been a really big thing, and it's been interesting to see what's happened over the past couple weeks with the interview, and notice how Google was one of the first ones to get it out. That's a big deal. And just the ease of purchase and being able to do it. I mean, I haven't used iTunes for this stuff in a long time, but I remember what it was like, and this is just infinitely easier.
It's a far cry from, okay, I want to rent this. 20 seconds later, it's on your Chromecast playing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so ridiculously easy.
And secondarily, I was going to say Chromecast, because that's, yeah, and Nexus Player. I mean, because being able to get content from your device, any device, to any TV is just, it's awesome. That is the way it should be. I brought Frozen, for the kids. I bought Frozen, which they already have on DVD. I bought it just so I didn't have to bother turning on the DVD player.
Yep.
The way Google Play Movies and TV has matured over the past 6 months, I would be willing to tell everybody listening, buy a Nexus player.
Yep.
You low storage, and you may not do a whole lot more with it. Yes, it's $60 more expensive than a Chromecast, but that $60 buys you into the future, and you have a very good library of music and movies to choose from.
That was the one sticking point. So Mia went out and bought some CDs yesterday with Christmas money. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, what the hell do I do with these things? It's been so long since I used one. She's walking around the house with this ancient, cheap, portable DVD player, using that to play her CDs with headphones plugged in. It's a horrible. And I'm sitting here thinking, all right, how do I get these onto her tablet in a way that's not going to make me just want to stab myself?
You don't. That's the problem.
Yeah. Like, I would love to be able to just, like, scan them with an app. The app says, hey, cool. You own that music. Here it is in Google Play. Never going to happen.
No, but you know the sad part? That's so easy to do.
Yep.
That would be so easy for Google and, let's say, Sony, BMG, whoever, to get together and do that, and they won't.
Disney's doing that right now. That's
kind of the idea of Ultraviolet? Is mm-hmm. that the, mm-hmm. the system yeah. where you get the digital download code and whatever? It would just be so easy to scan that barcode. They already know that they sold it to you, and they... Damn, if they're not going to let a random sale slip through the crack. They want to be able to report it, and they want to be able to get that second sale. I get that part.
And I get that I'm part of the problem because I'm buying things a second time. But, so anyway.
As an aside, how cool is it that there really wasn't a need for a Chromecast refresh this year?
There's something to be said for that.
It's not that we didn't get it, because technically with the Nexus player we did, but they're like, I don't feel like my Chromecast is out of date, even though it is well over a year old.
And I would be way happier with them dropping $10 off the price and selling it again for another year and a half than ever considering, changing, because the only thing that would change is, it's looks a little different. And here, spend another $35. And that's clearly not the goal with the Chromecast in the first place.
Did we ever find out, because every now and then I get emails, people asking about, well, do you have the Generation 2 Chromecast? I don't know.
Yeah, that's... If they change a diode, they have to make a new gen board. Sometimes that's a real thing, but other times it's just a technicality that really doesn't need work.
All I know is I got one of the first ones they ever made, and it works perfectly. And there's nothing that I can do that somebody else that ordered one a year later can't.
I would like to see, and Air's yelling at us, I would like to see 5 gigahertz, yes.
And that's not wrong. So many things in my house are 5 gigahertz supported, and it would be nice if there was a 5 gigahertz version of the Chromecast, but it's still not like a deal breaker.
That's not something that warrants a re-release of a new version. That would be something, again, that would be something just on the inside. They say, at this point, we're just everything going forward is going to have 5 gigahertz support.
That increases your price and makes you need to have your router closer to the Chromecast. I hope they don't do it. Everything, you know, if you're that guy who has something that interferes on 2.4, I'm sorry, and I understand why you want something better. But there are a lot of drawbacks to moving it to 5 gigahertz that I'm sure we're taking into account.
Yeah, no.
Everybody hates Jerry.
Well, it's a power. The 5 gigahertz, in most cases, is a power requirement. It has to be increased. It's like the Amazon Fire TV stick. It grumps at you if you use anything other than the official charger when you connect it to the television, and all of that has to do with power consumption, because the default, just like the Chromecast, is to want to plug it into the television. And the television USB port is not going to output enough juice to keep that thing running.
Yeah, look at the size of the... I don't know if you had a regular Fire TV, but that thing has a pretty hefty power brick on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of the deal.
And I would love to see Amazon open up a little bit, please. I know they can't. I get why. But it's the one thing missing. Oh, man. All right. So that was my thing. Let's take a little break just for a minute. When we come back, we will do some Q&A. And then we will launch into 2015, and specifically CES. Is it over yet? Can I go home now? No. All right. We'll be right back. All right. January is here. And if you're still looking for one of those New Year's resolutions for 2015, look no farther than lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com, of course. And it's a great way to kickstart your new year and challenge yourself to learn something. And we can help with a free 10-day trial. Now, lynda.com is used by millions of people worldwide, including us, including me. They have more than 3,000 courses on topics such as web development, photography, visual design, business, as well as software for Excel and WordPress and Photoshop. Or what if you want to set some new financial goals? Or maybe find a new balance between life and work, invest in a new hobby, increase your skill set to hunt for a new job? lynda.com has a course that can help you. All of Lynda's courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. Some of the videos we recommend include Samsung Galaxy Notes Tips and Tricks, Simple Android Development Tools, Android SDK Essential Tools, and be sure to check out the Code Clinic. It's an innovative series each month where Lynda.com issues a different code challenge, and authors share solutions with a variety of programming languages. Now, as for me, I've been spending some time with Lightroom 5 new features, Android Essential Training, and Photoshop CC for photographers, which I guess I am now. So do something good for yourself in 2015 and sign up for a free 10-day trial. Just go to lynda.com/androidcentral. Go on, challenge yourself. What, you guys don't hear music in your head?
No, I hear other things in my head that I'm not supposed to share.
All right, we're back. Let's get into the Q&A then. We are officially back. Lars writes, before the show starts, we'll do it halfway through. That's all right with you, Lars. Do you guys think Sony and HTC will provide a Google Play edition of their upcoming flagships, the Z4 or the M9? No.
No.
I think the Google Play experience is dead.
I think it's in the serious limbo, at least.
Yeah.
What about Android Silver?
I don't think anybody made any money from Google Play experience devices, and if you don't make money on something, you don't do it twice.
Yep. Sorry, that's just what it was. Shin wants to know, why is Alex drinking by himself instead of being on the podcast? I don't know. Never needed a reason before. Alex is getting ready to come to Vegas.
Yeah, he has an extra reason because he's packing for CES.
If I were him, I'd be drinking before that too. Might be what I do tonight.
And during and after.
Yeah. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Kevin wants to know, which, if any, manufacturers do you feel will be showing off a new smartphone at CES next week? All of the ones that you don't particularly care about.
That was a very eloquent way to put that. I was wondering how you were going to...
Well, I mean, even that wasn't all that It'll be all the manufacturers who traditionally have not gotten the sort of attention they deserve.
Because all the ones that couldn't...
Now you're reaching.
All the ones that can't get pressed to show up to an event just for them on most occasions.
Well, look, and it's not just about the events. Events are expensive to do. They're time-consuming. They cost a lot of money. And not everybody has the same pull, you know. HTC does not have the pull that Samsung does, although I would argue HTC does really good events. You know, none of them does quite an Apple-type event, although Samsung puts on quite the spectacle. You know, Motorola stuff is usually even more subdued than that. You know, each one's different. I get that. But no, these are just, you know, it's going to be companies that don't have big footholds in the U.S. or North America in general. And we have Mobile World Congress in 2 months.
Which is going to be a lot bigger in terms of what we cover. It's going to be focused on a ton of those kind of fringe manufacturers talking about all their new stuff that's going to be released in Europe where the show is at. And, you know, things that would normally get lost at CES.
Yeah, and when you say fringe, you don't really mean fringe like...
I think fringe of the top... Fringe of the top tier.
Yeah.
When you look at the market share numbers and they add up to 70%, this is that other 30% that's split between 10, 15 other manufacturers.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, it's not to say there won't be a lot of cool stuff there. There absolutely will. But God, you go through this every year. You've seen the headlines. You know, Galaxy S6 to be announced at CES. No. HTC M9 to be announced at CES. No. It happens every year. The same people just start repeating this crap. It's not happening. Sorry. No, I'm not even sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Can't make me be.
I believe they call that a sorry, not sorry.
That is correct. Ryan asks, is 2015 another iterative year for Android, or will we see more innovation this year? Android Wear, Android Auto, OK Google, open my garage.
Stop. Iterative.
Iterative. What is iterative?
I think anybody that says that should be forced to go work as an intern at a Google developer office for a week. Just because the pretty pictures haven't changed doesn't mean it's not a huge, huge, huge undertaking to do iterative stuff.
And to kind of answer the question at the same time, you know, we saw a pretty solid framework with Material Design. They're going to build on that. That's what's going to happen next. They're not just going to go, hey, so we changed our mind about this whole everything kind of looks like weird floaty paper thing, and we're going to go back to rectangles and Tron colors.
And you listen to any interview about it where they're talking, and it was years in the making. They didn't just start this, you know, last year right after KitKat.
Yeah. And everybody, we know Ryan. Grumpy old man, but Ryan knows. Ryan knows how this stuff works. He just needed to be...
Ryan likes to hear his answer.
Yes. He needed me to be grumpy, so I was grumpy.
Let's see. Matt asks, going into 2015, do you think smartwatches will primarily be made by the existing tech manufacturers, or will the more traditional watchmakers join in as they become more popular?
Yes.
I was thinking about it. So... Alcatel announced a smartwatch today.
But you're not going to see watches from even second-tier watchmakers, smartwatches, until they make money.
Right. No, Alcatel announced one. It's running some proprietary OS. I don't even know what it is yet. But I got to thinking, how long before we find out that, like, Pebble is behind, you know, the Pebble essentially has white-labeled its OS for any number of people?
Sure.
I think that it would be smart just from their perspective. I don't know how much that'll help, you know, the number of devices running the Pebble OS or anything like that. I just, from my perspective, it's that the thing is they're fighting with Android Wear, which is really good and easy to implement on, you know, compared to creating your own smartwatch system and, you know, doing it all from scratch. So the only reason why I think that we're going to see more manufacturers get in on the game is mainly that. they have this pre-built Android Wear thing that they can take and put on their hardware. Whether or not it's going to make money is something entirely different. And I agree with Jerry, they're not going to throw half of their marketing budget behind some new smartwatches that they know aren't going to sell and are way more price sensitive than what these manufacturers would be normally wanting to sell their watches for. But I think the fact that Android Wear is pretty much just like we've seen with phones, you know, it's there for anybody to take and put on their watch, and it seems to run pretty well if you put, you know, put it on there correctly.
Well, is it there for anybody to take and put on their watch yet?
Well, we don't know how that's
going to work. It seems pretty open for a company to, if they want to be on Google's, you know, terms.
I know what Andrew means,
but right.
I don't think it's going to be open. You can download it, build it yourself, and functional. There may be an open version, but it's not going to be worth a crap.
Sure. But I don't think that the situation right now, I don't think the reason why we haven't seen more manufacturers in there is that Google is rejecting second and third tier watch manufacturers. I think that if they wanted to do it, they could do it. And they go talk to Google and they say, we want to make a nicer looking Android Wear watch. The problem is on the manufacturer side, do I want to drop down and make a watch that sells for $229 and is more expensive to manufacture with all this stuff in it,
yep,
versus selling something that looks nicer and we already know how to do for $529?
And spend millions of dollars to retool equipment to make them in the first place.
And potentially learn to make watches in a way that they've never thought about before. You know, you're even if they make digital watches already, that's a completely different beast.
As long as the guys at Virtue hand assemble a $2,000 crazy orange leather watch running Android Wear, then I think everyone will be happy.
Are we going to see Google buy a watch company for like 6 months and
gut it?
See, I don't know. I don't think they need to do that. They could acquire you say watch company. Well, until now, you know, LG wasn't a watch company, but they made two watches now.
Yeah, is LG now a watch company? That's part of the question here too. I mean, do we think that smartwatches are going to supplant traditional watches anytime in the near future? If so, then LG is now a top-tier watch company.
Well, and I mean, these manufacturers that make mid-tier low-end smartphones are way closer to being able to have the expertise to make an Android Wear watch than Fossil is. And you would never say that, you know, Blue is a watch manufacturer, right, but they're way closer to being able to, you know, put stuff, you know, for smartwatches into a little watch form factor than Seiko is.
I think Fossil is a bad example because I really think they're going to surprise us with something very nice and not something that they did entirely themselves. I have a feeling some people from Mountain View are hard at work to make their product great as it should be.
Fair enough.
Aaron
is reminding us that Google did, in fact, buy WIM.
Yeah, tell me what they've
done. I used a WIM watch once. It was awful.
Any number of reasons to buy a company, so who knows.
But, I mean, in general, I'm excited to see where this second generation of hardware is going to go. I mean, we had a lot of nice watches in the first wave of Android Wear that, you know, people really like, and people aren't just throwing them out or, you know, giving them away. They're actually really nice, you know, and this was the first wave, so could get a lot better in 2015.
And look at how that worked too. We had the first selection from Samsung and LG were pretty basic. Nice devices, nothing wrong with them, but in the looks and style department, they were pretty basic.
And that was a matter of time.
I think so.
That was a matter of time.
Okay.
Look at the G-Watch R.
You give Motorola and LG a little bit more time, they bring out something more fashionable.
Yeah.
You give Asus even a little bit more time, and they bring out something that, and maybe if it doesn't appeal to you, but generally everybody says it's very well built, resembles a traditional watch, and it's a beautiful piece of equipment. So that's always going to be at play, and next version is going to be better than this version.
I get that people, you know, I'm already getting emails probably, you quit talking about watches, but I mean, this is where it's going, guys. It's watches, it's cars eventually, and I want to transition into 2015. The cars still remain for me, I think, a huge deal. I'm really excited about that. I think it's super important. I can't stress that enough.
It's,
I'm going to drive home in a minute and watch somebody on their phone.
It's super important, but it's going to take doing it right for it to matter. If I can't go buy a head unit and have it installed that is right and not just some second thought piece of equipment, it's dead in the water, because I'm not going to go spend $19,000 on a new Toyota or whatever just to get Android in my car. And
the bigger issue with that is that over time, that problem would solve itself, and that, you know, you get enough new models and people, you know, there's enough car turnover. The problem is other apps aren't going to be made to work properly with Android Auto if that's the only case, because the app developers aren't going to spend months and months and months making stuff that works really well and smartly with the car if they know that it's going to take 5-10 years for the replacement rate to come through and get that in enough head units.
So, and we've seen, like, Phil, what was that? The Parrot? Didn't Parrot make a... And they
were... There are a bunch out there, actually. I mean, Sony's got stuff.
Yeah, and they're pretty cool. But they're not going to be on the level that we've seen demonstrated by NVIDIA and Audi.
I would really like to get something for my car.
Me too.
Because I'm going to have this one at least for a few more years. Like... I really want something now, and I just can't bring myself to do it now. And it's a super important space. We're going to see a lot more this week, by the way. We know Hyundai's going to be there with stuff. Who else do we know of?
I just want to see Kenwood and Pioneer and JVC there with stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I
miss. Or Sony.
Right, right.
So that's. That's really what I'm looking forward to this next week. I mean, we know we're going to get some minor phone stuff. I mean, don't, for all you guys worried about that, we're in that time of year where we all get excited about CES, and there's not going to be a lot of phones. And we go through this every year.
It's going to be more on the tablet side.
Yeah.
But
there's going to be tablets. There's going to be a lot of crap. There's absolutely going to be a lot of crap.
Android is more than phones now.
Yep.
This other stuff is just as important to Android, because you have to move forward, and they're done with phones. I mean, phones are going to get better, but Google has done everything you can do with a phone right now until they think of a new idea. But getting the rest of the stuff connected, that's what I was excited about, and that's going to get better. So I'm really interested in it.
Andrew, what are you looking forward to?
My second thing was looking forward to what happens with Android Wear in 2015. Are we going to see a huge software update, or was this big bump to Lollipop? You know, is that what's going to carry us through 2015, and all the difference makers are going to be on the hardware side? It'll be interesting to see which hardware makers continue. You know, are we going to see Samsung put out another one, or was the Gear Live kind of just, that's, you know, they were just going to try that and see how it worked? I think we know that it seems like LG, after releasing two watches, is clearly, you know, they're in the path. They like making Android Wear stuff. What's HTC going to do? Are we going to see these more, you know, traditional watchmakers get in on the game? Are we going to see ASUS release something more like what it was rumored, $99 Android Wear watches? You know, right now, there's not, I mean, of course there are options, but we have, what, five out there? Five. Six. Major ones out there, and they, you know, they're all kind of the same, and the prices are kind of the same. You know, are we going to just see more of that, or are we going to see real hardware changes, things like that?
I have a real hard time, unless you're a nerd and want to have these new toys early and have the money to burn, I have a real hard time, you know, recommending any of these just yet.
I went through that around Christmas. You know, I thought about getting one of the discounted G watches for my brother for Christmas. And, you know, he's kind of nerdy, but not, you know, on our level nerdy about Android stuff. And I thought, you know, is this something that he's actually going to wear, or is he just going to go back to a regular watch, you know, because it's kind of a novelty type of thing. And, you know, I decided against it because I just don't think at this point for non-super nerds, the Android Wear stuff offers enough to make it worth, you know, not wearing your other watch that looks kind of nice and, you know, doesn't give you notifications, but they probably don't care about that in the first place.
Yeah, well, and I've already done the stupid, nerdy, crazy early adopter thing with things that, you know, you strap to your face instead of your wrist. So it's been a lot easier for me to be calm about Android Wear and choosing which one. And I definitely think that the stuff we're going to see next year is going to be way closer to stuff that I would recommend to people.
I agree. Russell, what are you kind of looking forward to? And Russell's going to be with us in Vegas, by the way. What are you looking forward to seeing?
I want crazy robot house stuff. I want more companies that are doing smarter things with the stuff that gets connected in the house. We've got a ton of disparate technology, and I want more people to talk about how we're going to bring them together, because it's not, I don't feel like it's totally responsible to put the onus for all of that on each one of these companies. Like, it's hard for these companies to go and add adoption for everything, and we see stuff like Nest can interact with a ton of different stuff, and Philips Hue can interact with a ton of different stuff, and the GE Wink program has plugins for like everything that you can put into your house. And so the new stuff that comes out, I really want to hear about how they're actually helping people and how they're going to play nice with some of this existing stuff.
I agree. I started playing with cameras this week and seeing what works with Nest and what doesn't and how they do. And like, I did that connected sprinkler system last year and it's still hooked up and it works great. It will talk to Nest, and if Nest detects a fire, it will turn on my sprinkler system outside. I'm sure the people responding to the fire will appreciate being hosed down on their way.
Break it as they try to put out the fire in your house.
Yes, Jerry.
To be fair, as long as you use the correct piping, you could run a sprinkler head inside your home.
That's
true. They could be connected by that as well. So that's a really cool feature that we're making fun of because it's funny, but it.
Well, nice in its current implementation, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think Russell nails it, and I think the central control point for all that stuff is your Android TV, not the little box that you can put on your TV, because we know those are coming. You know, yeah. Google already has one you can buy if you really want one. But, I mean, you go buy a Sony or an RCA or Panasonic or LG or whoever television – and instead of their crappy Java-based UI for smart TV, they have full-blown Android TV built into it.
Yep.
That's big, because that gives you the entertainment features that you want. You get Hulu Plus, Amazon, Netflix, everything is built in. But it also gives you that central control point for everything that's connected, because for most people, the TV is still in that room where everything, you know, everybody meets, everybody's there together in your living room, and you could turn your sprinkler on, for example, if it's dry and you think it needs an extra watering, or turn your car on in the winter and kick the heat on for 10 minutes before you go outside, right while you're watching the Weather Channel. And we need a hub. If we're going to have smart stuff, we need a central hub. It's nice to think that everything can be standalone, and while that works well in some theories, you still need a central hub where you can control everything. And that, I think, is going to be your TV.
My favorite dead horse to beat right now is the Sci-Fi Channel app. Has this feature called Sci-Fi Sync, and it grabs, right now I think it only works with like the Sharknado movies, but it will sync with the smart lights. And play along with the smart lights. It is the coolest thing. Yep. I don't even like the Sharknado movies, but I turn it on just because My entire room goes blue when they flash to one of the water scenes, and when lightning strikes, the entire room flashes white for a second, and it's this total immersive experience that is just incredibly cool. There's absolutely no reason why my Android TV can't do that.
Can I get Rumble Packs under my couch now?
I would put Rumble Packs under my couch too. That would be.
But you certainly could, and they would communicate with an app that runs on Android. All that stuff is easily possible. You're just going to need a control point for all that. And yes, your phone is okay, but that 60-inch TV in your living room that's controlled by your phone, an app on your phone, I think is better.
It's controlled by an app on your phone. It's connected to power, so you never have to worry about battery. The microphones on it are usually pretty decent.
And you're sitting there with your significant other and you're watching a movie, and don't you think it's a little chilly in here? Yeah, it is. You grab the remote control, hit a button, and bump your Nest up 3 degrees.
Now that Logitech is already taken care of, and that I haven't spent enough time with it to talk about yet, but Logitech has this whole home remote system that they released earlier this year that is like geared towards exactly that.
So if Logitech can do it, Google can do it too.
Exactly. Yep.
And the best thing would be a partnership between Logitech and Google. Have Logitech build consumer devices that run Android Wear for people want a box on their existing TV.
I'm sure that there are CEOs or somebody in charge at Logitech that are still a little chapped from Android TV.
Phil, so, was it 3 years ago when Hugo showed us the light on stage at Google I/O? This is for your living room. This is Android. I think it was 3 years ago. Ever since that moment, I have pictured – I used to work with a gentleman who had a recliner that you flipped over the arm, and there was a huge control panel, and he had an automated home, and everything worked from the chair. But from that point, when Hugo showed us that light, I envisioned a remote that works with your TV that can control all this stuff, and I think that's where we're progressing.
It's just taking a little longer than we expected. Patience is hard. All right. Well, anybody else have anything you think we missed that we absolutely have to look forward to next week? Yes? No? No?
We're probably going to see a bunch of connected toys, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, smart toy things.
And I think we're going to see some new high-end audio products that will either plug in or wirelessly connect to your existing smart devices.
I predict in 2015 that little glowing orb right over there might. It's not going to do anything. Who am I kidding? Nope. Damn it!
I just keep glowing on the top shelf of your display cabinet there.
That's right.
I wish Google would just port Android TV over to it, even if it works crappy. Because only 5,000 people have one, and they're all supposed to be developers, so nobody's going to complain if it works poorly.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. I'm glad we're back. Coming up next week, we will be live from Vegas. We will record a podcast from the floor somehow, some way. We did it last year. So look for that. Whenever we do it, it'll probably be a little early. So we'll try to announce that if at all possible. Whole bunch of live stuff. Starting Sunday is when you can start looking. Go to androidcentral.com/CES 2015. Just all one word like that. All one little word. CES 2015, that's where you can find it all. It's where you can find us. And it's going to be insane. It's going to be crazy. Russell's going to be there. Andrew's going to be there. Alex is going to be there. Richard's going to be there. Everybody's going to be there.
Stuff's going to come heavy on Monday and Tuesday, especially.
It's going to be nuts. So with that, I really need to go back because I'm out of here first thing in the morning. If you want to, though, you can email us podcast@androidcentral.com. Go follow us on all the social things. You absolutely need to do that for next week. If you are not, Twitter, Google+, Facebook, Just search our name, Android Central. That is the easiest way to find us. You can also find all of us individually if you want to stalk Russell, and I highly suggest you do that. Russell, where can we find you online?
I am plus Russell Holly, or at Russell Holly. Pretty much my first and last name. I'm pretty easy to track down.
Turns out he has an Instagram account, too.
I do have an Instagram account. This was revelatory to me today.
Should we make sure what's on there before we announce it to everybody?
I checked earlier, and okay, it's mostly harmless.
So there's that. Jerry, Russell, Alex?
Alex?
Damn it! Jerry, Russell, Andrew?
Imagine if some sort of weird science experiment combined the three of them into one.
That would be creepy.
Alex would really be glad that he was packing for CES on the show if that was the case.
All right, so that's it. We will be back at you somehow next week. Stay tuned. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Adios.